The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The US President Donald Trump is renaming the Department of Defense the Department of War. He will sign an executive order today to use the new name as a secondary title and for Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth to be known as the Secretary of War. Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at the University of Galway and political columnist with the Journal.ie, joins me now. Larry, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, lots to talk about what happened in the United States yesterday, including Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s performance at that Senate hearing. But let's talk about the Department of War. It used to be known as that.
Yeah, once upon a time, it was known as the Department of War. It became renown as the Department of Defense by virtue of congressional action, I believe in 1949. This is a very strange move from Donald Trump, in my view. He's saying that the Department of War connotes strength, that it promotes strength, that the United States is robust and effectively not to be messed with. But that flies in the face of everything that Donald Trump ran on, both in 2016, 2020, and in 2024, which was an anti-war platform, the idea that he would not involve the United States military abroad as his predecessors had done. And I think that resonated very strongly with an awful lot of Americans, including Americans who wouldn't be on the same page with him on other things, but they would have said, Donald Trump kept us out of war. He didn't send troops elsewhere. The fact that he's going down this route, to me, is really befuddling, and I don't see what the purpose is. I don't get it at all.
In terms of the optics, when you're looking for the Nobel Peace Prize, it doesn't seem right. But in reality, I was looking back maybe to the embarrassment of Americans, but at the history of America's involvement in war, and we can go way back to the foundation of the United States of America, but let's even go back as far as the Civil War, and you've got, as well as the Civil War, you've got all the wars against the native peoples of that landmass. You've got a coup in Hawaii in 1893, the Spanish-American War of 1898 to 1902, the occupation of Nicaragua in 1912, the Tampico Affair, where they went into Mexico in 1914. You have, of course, World War One. You've got other expeditions, the invasion of Haiti, for example, that was in 1915. World War One, the Siberian Expedition in 1918 to 1920, the protection of Shanghai's international settlement, American armies involved in all of this, World War Two, the Korean War, the defense of Chinese nationalists, the Vietnam War, the Bay of Pigs into Cuba, which of course failed, then all the anti-communist interventions. You had the Dominican Republic. You'd all sorts of operations in South and Central America, the Persian Gulf War. We get all the way up to the Bosnian War. Then we had, of course, the invasions of Iraq. You've had Americans involved in Bosnia, in Syria, in Afghanistan most recently, I suppose, and Iran. I mean, it is the Department of War. It's not the Department of Defense, because on the American landmass, America has only been attacked twice. 9/11 and Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, it's a very fair point, Pat. And I think that what you've outlined there, although he mightn't be as acquainted with the historical nuance, what you've outlined there, that very sorry legacy, I mean, first of all, it points out that war doesn't work. Armed conflict doesn't work. Peace is what works, and diplomacy is what works. But much of what you said could have come from, you know, Donald, although it would have been said much more rudimentary fashion, would have come from Donald Trump. These are the sorts of things he would have once said. I suppose you have the highlight of World War II, where the United States military intervention did do some good, but you see otherwise a litany of failure and failings, which Donald Trump would have always said he was determined not to repeat. If you look at what he's done since he's been in office in January, however, you see a marked departure from all of that, and you see an interventionist, overbearing United States in lots of different ways. Now, ultimately, I don't think that's the direction Donald Trump wants to go in, but certainly when you see the Department of War being named and you see some of the things he said, it is very worrying. And for his political purposes, his base, a lot of people in middle America, won't be very happy with all of this, because at the end of the day, it's their kids who go off and fight these wars. It's not the rich people. It's the kids in middle America who go off and fight these wars and come back in body bags or with scars that they will never recover from.
Now, we've had a lot of activity on the part of the U.S. government, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. having destroyed the CDC and other interventions, he had to defend his actions before a Senate hearing, and it's fair to say he was pretty well mugged by both sides.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, look, Democrats and Republicans, I want to peel back just a minute here. What is abundantly clear is that Robert F. Kennedy committed perjury in his confirmation hearings, when effectively he said he wasn't going to go near the vaccine issue. When he said, what I'm about here is getting back to some basic principles about health, and he talked about chemicals and different things that I think a lot of us would agree with the message he put out there. But I think the deep misgivings from some Republicans, including some qualified medical doctors, about what Robert F. Kennedy is doing on vaccines. The fact is, this is insanity, Pat. There's no other way to put it. The fact that somebody in a position like him, a cabinet level position, Health and Human Services, that is dismembering the vaccine apparatus, which has worked so well in terms of public health in the United States and around the world, it is shocking. It is astonishing. It is indefensible at this stage, and I think some of the Republicans signaled, they wouldn't be so brave as to say it outright, but I think some of the Republicans signaled that if they knew then what they know now, they would have been much more hesitant about backing this guy. The fact, Pat, in his own family says this, is that this guy is a quack and he has no business in the job that he's doing right now.
Now, we know that Trump is unwilling to remove somebody because it shows that he made a mistake in the first place, when he never wants to admit that. But is it almost inevitable that Kennedy cannot continue?
I just don't know. If the rules of American politics were what they always had been, I would say yes, that his position is completely untenable at this stage, and that Republican senators would have gone to the president through various back channels and said, this guy needs to go. He's a disaster. But the rules have all changed. And even as many, many Republicans, I'm sure, in Congress feel that way about Robert F. Kennedy, they are very fearful of communicating that message to Donald Trump or being in any way at odds with the president, because they know the type of loyalty he commands, and the fact that many of them will be up for re-election in 2026. They could face primaries, all those sorts of things. So it's a very different world that we live in now.
It's interesting, though, that some of the news outlets were replaying Donald Trump's, I suppose, boasting about Operation Warp Speed during COVID, and how quickly the pharma industry had come up with these really effective vaccines for COVID. So he was happy to boast about it then, but he's got Robert Kennedy's worm in his own brain, I think, since then, and has changed his tack.
Well, look, Pat, I mean, the fact is, Donald Trump says whatever he needs to say in the moment to bolster his own case, to bolster his base, to do everything he needs to do. And it's immaterial whether it is true or whether it is false. Those things don't move him as much as what ultimately moves him is self-interest and the desire to continue to appeal to that considerable swathe of the American people that he continues to appeal to. And I think some of the conversations we have, they're strong and they're important, but they cannot happen without pointing to that political reality that Donald Trump still commands the loyalty of about 45, 46, 47% of the American electorate. That's only a couple points down off what he received in November, and that led to a comfortable Electoral College win. So that's the reality of the politics in this one. As much as we despair as what we see, Donald Trump is still doing pretty well.
Now, one issue that simply will not go away. You saw the Epstein victims during the week and their press conference on Capitol Hill, and then Trump's response saying this is a Democratic hoax, even though that was contradicted by the women involved. But there's an interesting development. A Republican, Thomas Massie, who's been leading the charge on the Epstein affair, he repudiated his own Republican colleagues for opposing his effort to force the Justice Department to publicly release information on the convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. And it's interesting what he had to say about who might be on that list.
Well, let me give you the name of one of the billionaires who's running $2 million of ads in my district since I started this effort. His name is John Paulson. He's a hedge fund manager and a major donor to the Republican Party, a major donor to the Speaker of the House, a major donor to the president's campaign, and he's in Epstein's Black Book. Now, that's public, but that's indicative of the types of people who may be implicated or just embarrassed by a release of a complete release of these files.
So implicated or perhaps just embarrassed by being on the list. I mean, RFK traveled on the Epstein plane, we learned as well. So is this some sort of crack in the Republican facade on Epstein?
Yeah, it's really hard to know. I mean, Congressman Massey has been an outspoken voice, I think, to his credit on this one. I mean, to his discredit on lots of other things, if people are aware of some of the things he believes, or indeed the Christmas cards he posts with his children and family all bearing semi-automatic weapons. But I think on this one, I think he's right. I think he's been a courageous voice saying, look, let's release all this stuff, Mr. President. You promised that all of this stuff would go, and it should, absolutely should happen. And I should note that it was heartening to see the survivors of that reprehensible human being, Jeffrey Epstein, the survivors speaking out and saying, look, we're going to do this ourselves if the White House won't do it. We're going to build the list of the people who are responsible here, who did horrible, horrible things. Now, Massey is going to be primaried. There's no doubt about that. It will be a real test of strength to see whether he can be ousted by the pro-Trump forces.
I mean, he said that Paulson actually had put $2 million into going after him in his constituency. So it's interesting that he would come out and finger Paulson, knowing that Paulson was bankrolling a competitor.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Massey knows what he's doing here. I mean, he's staking his future because he knows his future is on the line anyway, but he's going down fighting. But if anything, this whole tawdry stuff illustrates the fact that the rot at the core of American politics is the role of the almighty dollar. And it's really, really sad that we see the depths to which things have sunk. Now, my own view in terms of Epstein and Trump is that were there a real smoking gun implicating Trump, we'd know about it by now, given the nature of how media, how social media, how the internet works, that we'd know. But it would be very interesting to see what else is on there. And I think it's incumbent upon Trump, having promised to do so, that he release everything that's there. And it clearly isn't going away, except for in the minds of those who are the most ardent true Trump disciples.
One suspects that he's perhaps fearful of the ricochet from some of the people who might be implicated in all of this. And who knows where that will all end. Anyway, Larry, thank you very much for joining us. Larry Donnelly, law lecturer at the University of Galway and political columnist with thejournal.ie.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.